Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID, or visit your local DMV, and then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. She, too, was strangely offended by sausage patties. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? And it's weird. I love diner food, but if they give me a sausage patty, I don't think I would eat it. It's not a sausage.
It's a sausage patty.
I don't like it. Don't give me that. Give me a sausage that looks like a sausage, or give me a burger patty that looks like a burger patty. Don't mix mix and match, okay?
That's definitely not kosher. Yeah, I was going to say, you're no stranger to the burger patty, and a sausage patty is quite similar.
No, but this is the way you eat it. You don't put it on a burger. You eat it with breakfast, and it's flat.
That's true.
And it's supposed to be a sausage.
It is a sausage. It's well, I guess what is a sausage even besides just pork and
some
seasoning?
You don't want to know. Like, you don't want to know what's inside of a diner sausage. I'll tell you that.
I feel
it's probably some roadkill.
Maybe, depending on the diner. I feel like I feel better about a sausage patty than it. Here's what sketches me out about some sausages. It's the casing. Like, what is the casing, anyways?
I know what it is. It's the intestine.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. That's natural. Although I don't think diner sausages are intestines. That's how you make it naturally in Europe, especially. You take the intestines, you fill it in with the sausage stuff.
You know what?
I need to take you to pig killing because you're going to love it.
No, you don't actually. But you know what? You know what kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies?
What?
And I'm going to blow some people's minds right now. I've never had, and the reason I haven't ever had this is strictly based on the shape. Okay. The way you're turned off by a sausage patty, right? Mm-hmm, because of the shape, the consistency. I have never had a Wendy's hamburger.
Me neither. But why didn't you?
Because it's square.
Oh.
And to me, that is very strange.
Yeah, I don't eat fast food, so that's why I didn't. I feel like if I did have some fast food, I would probably go for one of the classics like McDonald's.
She's lying, guys. She has fast food.
I've never had Do I eat fast food? The last time I ate fast food.
We don't eat fast food.
It's going to be about 7 years ago in New York City when I was wasted.
You've had some Popeyes from me.
I had a bite. I didn't order it.
You had your own Popeyes a couple years ago when we were driving through Connecticut.
Did I like it?
That's not what we're debating,
Teresa. I didn't finish it.
That's not what we're debating.
I didn't finish it. Oh, okay. I had Chick-fil-A 5 years ago when I was on a work trip because that was the only thing around there.
Okay. Well, I'm a big fan of fast food. I just try not to eat it because for obvious reasons, but a Wendy's burger, I don't understand why it's square. I don't understand how that's a unique selling proposition for them.
You know what I love? McDonald's French fries.
Of course.
They're just the best.
Of course. What a hot take.
It's been like 7 years. We should get some.
All right. We're not here to talk about fast food. We're not here to talk about sausage patties. We're here to talk about 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes.
Before we do, real quick, a little business. We're on Patreon. We're on Supercast. What are we doing over there? We're talking about Love in Paradise. It's coming to an end, so we hear. But it's been a great season, and we're still enjoying talking about it. And if you want to hear us talk about the end of the season, get on the Patreon, get on the Supercast. But also make sure you're there, because we're going to be talking about The Other Way.
Yes.
It is premiering very soon, in a couple weeks, I believe. And so make sure you're on the Patreon or the Supercast, starting at the Cousins Club level, for that coverage. If you want video of the podcast and a monthly bonus, get on over to the Family Affair level, because we're having fun over there too. And of course, the Patreon has a special chat feature.
Yes.
For Patreons only. So check it out, patreon.com/marriedtoreality, marriedtoreality.supercast.com. It's ad-free. You get the bonuses. It's a good time. Check it out. Make sure you're also checking us out on Instagram at marriedtorealitypod, mainly because that's where you can call in. That's where you can message us.
Yes, and we love it. I love it. John loves reading it in the background, but I love chatting with you guys.
I've tried to respond, and you're like, hands off the messenger.
Because you overthink your response. You're not natural.
What are you talking about?
I just share whatever's on my mind.
I know. I like to have a thoughtful response, and you're like, stop it. You're just respond.
Because you overthink a conversation with our friends.
Have you never had a conversation with me before? I like to be thoughtful. I like to put some thought into my responses.
That's why I am the social media president.
I know, because if I was responding, you guys would have to wait till like next season to hear my thoughts on this.
Well, you
season.
Do respond to the messages that are directed to you, but it does take you a hot minute to overthink. So,
well, sorry that I'm thoughtful in my response. Okay, but yes, message us, call in on Instagram at marriedtorealitypod. Also, make sure to follow the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button,
guys. Smash it like it's as hard as, and I'm prepared this time, the Cameroonian goat.
Bio, whatever his name was.
The what?
I think, I forget what his name was. Boya? I think so.
I didn't write it down because you should not name something that's going to be eaten.
True. Fair enough. You don't want to...
You form an attachment, and then it's just sad because when I was a child and we used to get the carb in the bathtub for Christmas,
yeah,
then we had to eat Bubbles, and then, you know, it kind of sucks.
You named it Bubbles.
Every year.
All right. Every year.
And I had to eat Bubbles. So.
Right. There you go. Lesson learned. Yes. So there you go. Smash like it's as hot as Boya, the goat. And one more thing. If you haven't left a review, please do. You guys know we love a little love. And if you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast right here. All right. Shall we do it? Before we get into the meat of the episode, before we recap episode 14, how about a little 90 day, by the way?
I sent you some. Did you see?
I ignored.
Really?
I think so.
Why would you ignore that?
Well, what would you send me? Tell me what you sent me.
I sent you the one that Mike from Mike and Jimena got married.
Yeah. Apparently the things aren't going well with them anyway. So.
Really?
Yeah. There you go. by the way, Mike from Mike and Jimena may be on his way to divorce. So.
They just got married.
Exactly.
Okay, share what you got.
All right, by the way, number one, some big changes for Sam of Sam and Citra.
Okay.
He stayed out of jail, which is good.
Good.
They're expecting a baby any day now, which I don't know if we talked about, but it's something they announced a few months ago.
They announced it on the tell-all. She was pregnant.
Oh, that's right. They announced they're having a girl a few months ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Remember on the tell-all, we thought they're going to make a big deal out of it, and Sam is like... So we're just pregnant.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm just spreading my sperm, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one way to announce it. Yeah, they're having a girl. That's what the announcement was, which the gender reveal is on social media, which take it or leave it, I guess. But it's basically all of the family members just going around being like, I think it's going to be a boy. I think it's going to be a girl. I think it's going to be a boy. And then Sam's like, it better be a boy or I'm sending it back. And then it's a girl. So
gender reveals are dangerous. Like people died during gender reveals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts.
We're here for it. Send us a link for a good one. But yeah, it's a little hairy. So, okay. They're having a girl. They're having a baby. Sam's got a new job.
Okay.
So he's made it out of the Amazon warehouse, which... I think it's probably smart because if the robots are coming for anyone's jobs, they're coming for the Amazon warehouse workers' jobs.
Yeah. So
he made it out of the warehouse. He works in roofing now.
Okay.
He posted a selfie video saying if anyone needs a new roof, he'll come by, he'll give an estimate, give him a holler. I checked out the shirt he was wearing, trying to do a little detective work over here to see where he's working, who he's working for. Hometown Roofing out of Kansas City.
Okay.
So it doesn't seem like he's gone far from where we saw him on the season. But good for him, getting a new job, providing for the growing family. Just some positive news in this.
Good, I'm glad.
Crazy world.
Good.
Okay, so shout out to Sam. Number two, move over Cameo. Move over OnlyFans. There seems to be a new player in town.
Oh, I saw that.
Fan basis.
I showed you that because our friend showed me that.
All right. Well, thank you everyone who showed us. Of course, the queens, Darcy and Stacey, won't miss out on any chance to make a buck. So they're over there on fan basis. What are they offering? Shall we talk a little bit about what they're selling?
Sure.
On fan basis? Okay. Well, for $40, Darcy will show you her entire makeup routine.
Ooh.
You'd have to pay me about $40 to watch that. But okay, if you want to pay $40, she'll show you her makeup routine. For $50, Darcy will follow you back on Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah. For $100, this is where it gets good. For $100, you can watch her try on all of her bikinis.
Mm.
I think it's called like a bikini haul. She'll just try on all the bikinis she owns.
I wonder if she just did one video.
100%
there is. Now I was going to cash out on it.
That's called being a smart businesswoman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you film it one and done. And so $100, that's what that'll get you. For $1,000.
Right. I didn't see this one.
For $1,000. Now this is Darcy and Stacy. So two for the price of one. $1,000. That'll get you dinner with the sisters in Miami. You choose the restaurant. I'm sure you also pay for it.
So it's the $1,000 is not part of it?
The $1,000 goes in the ladies' pockets, and then you tell them where to meet you, and you buy them dinner.
So if I want to like eat at like a Waffle House to save some money, that would be good?
Yeah, if you want to eat at McDonald's.
Or.
You can take the sisters there for $1,000.
Okay, for how long? Like
that's
the whole night?
That's a
all
great
night
question.
Long?
That, all night. Why now? And for $2,000, all right, for $2,000, and this might be my favorite one and the one I would save up for if I could. For $2,000, any guesses?
They will make out with you?
Make out with me?
Mm-hmm.
No, but are you allowing that?
No.
Oh, okay.
You would have an issue if that was right.
For $2,000, one more guess. What would you want? What would you want them to do?
I want them to live perform all their songs.
No, again, you'd have to pay me the $2,000 for that. For $2,000, Teresa, you get the bridesmaids experience. So they will either come to your bachelorette. They'll either come to your bachelorette party or your wedding as your bridesmaids.
I would totally do that.
Can you imagine?
Two grand for both?
What a deal.
I wish we were getting married now.
I know. Imagine them standing up there.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine that. Travel and accommodations not included. Mm. Okay. But for a 2K, they'll stand up there and they'll probably shout things out like, doing it big. You're doing it big, Teresa. I love love.
If you're getting married or have a bachelorette party in Miami, it's cheap. You just send an Uber.
Very true. Very true. Man, what a party that would be.
Ooh.
And I wonder like what the contractual obligations are. Like if it's your bachelorette party and you're going to some sketchy places, you know, you're doing some wild thing. Do they have to go with you? That's not
they
great
do.
For their image. And do they have to stay up with you until the sun rises?
For two grand, they better hold my hair when I'm puking in the bathroom.
Exactly. So there you go. That's 90 day, by the way. If you got an extra 2K in you. Want Darcy
nice.
And Stacey at
there
your
are
wedding.
Other 90 daters on this site. Like karaoke with small eyes for $250. Ew.
Hold my hair back.
The sisters are smart about it. Yes, the last two were expensive, but other than that, you can get something a little cheaper.
Get a follow back for $50.
Yeah, or $100, you see them in a bikini. It's better than a karaoke with small ad for $250.
Absolutely. Mm. All right. There you go. That is it. Now, the reason we're all here, Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After.
Question mark.
Season 8, episode 14. Let's start in Texas. And could someone actually explain what grits is? Because everyone seems to have a question. Sophie and Rob, Sophie and Claire, myself, Teresa. Nobody knows what grits is.
I think it's not oatmeal, but it's like something like that.
It's definitely not eggs and sugar.
No,
I know
it's
that
not.
We've lived in the South for 6 years. I've never had grits. I don't think you've eaten
it. Sarah, our friend, made me try and I did not like it. Because okay. you cannot put ketchup on it. So
okay. I know it's not eggs and sugar, which
no,
is what
it's not.
This waitress said it was, I believe.
I mean, I feel bad, but she needs to get laid off or educated.
The waitress?
Yeah.
Yeah, know your menu.
Literally, that's your... You have two jobs. Three jobs. Be pleasant, take orders, and know what you're selling.
Yeah, that should be your... Knowing your menu should be your bread and butter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. this segment, I don't know if you've ever seen this show or if they aired it in Czech at all, but like this segment seemed like an episode of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
No. I mean, I don't know it.
They're like... Is that sausage? I don't know what accent that was. Do Americans have round sausages? Like, what are we? This breakfast was troubling for so many reasons.
Odd. Like it, I'm telling you, like patty, like sausage patties are odd. If there's a buffet and there is a regular sausage and a sausage patty, I would always go for regular sausage.
That's fine. That's preference. But this conversation. Sophie's lived in the States multiple times. She's lived in the States for months now or years. This is also her second or third time living in the States. And she's just unaware of sausage patties.
Maybe she doesn't go to diners. Like, that's literally a diner thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
They're in the freezer aisle at your local supermarket.
Yeah, I don't go to that aisle. So maybe she doesn't either.
Okay. So anyways... They finally get to the bottom of the sausage gate and Rob starts texting Sophie. He wants her to come back home.
Yeah, and Claire is like, I feel emotionally hungover. Emotionally?
Yeah, I struggle with Claire because she pisses me off. She upsets me. She's a child. But I do kind of feel bad because I know she was an addict. I know she struggled, but she's going to bring Sophie down with her if she keeps up this behavior. She's dragging her daughter down with her with this two peas in a pod mentality.
And she needs to let go of her. And I know that it's hard probably, but if my mom didn't have my dad, not that my mom is an addict or anything, but... My mom is also like, she needs someone to hang on to, right? Mm. She has my dad. She tries to have me when I was a kid, but then I'm very independent and I left and now I'm gone. But my mom is very like, she needs to have someone. But as I said, she has my dad. Claire doesn't have anyone but Sophie, right?
Right.
So she's like, so are you ready to go back to London? And Sophie's like, not yet. Like, I haven't made a decision. I need to... figure out what's going on. I might stay with Kay for a little bit. And Claire is like, they can get a place together. And immediately Sophie's like, no.
You make a good point because Claire was always borderline clingy and unnecessarily present in Sophie's life. But it really did get bad once she broke up with John.
Mm-hmm.
And so like now that she doesn't have that guy, she's totally focused on being in Sophie's life.
Yeah, but Sophie doesn't want that. And I think because she knows her mom. She loves her mom, but she knows who her mom is. And she knows that living with her mom would probably be hard.
Yeah. So Sophie's like, well, let's go to Rob's. I want him to apologize to you. I need to get clothes and then I'll go to Kay's. It's like, why don't you just keep a spare set of clothes at Kay's at this point? It seems like you're there more than you're at Rob's.
Yeah, but they get to Rob's and...
Worst apartment for someone on crutches. That flight of stairs.
That is true.
Again, I kind of am starting to feel bad for Claire, but that just make Rob come down and apologize to her at that point.
I don't feel bad for Claire. Rob, he got this sad, happy stuffed animal for Sophie.
Which totally changed her mood. Like, is this what 23-year-old girls are into these days?
I don't know. I'm older.
I need to get on TikTok and do some research because this stuffy completely turned her mood around.
I know. I never, like, I did like, I had a few stuffed animals when I was a kid that I liked. And I still have my Eeyore in my nightstand and a vacuum sealed bag because he was getting moldy. Yikes. So I had to wash him. But I've never been into stuffed animals. And I remember, like, I had a high school boyfriend and he got me one and I hated it. I'm like, it was big. I'm like, I don't even want it here.
I got you a stuffy.
Yeah, but it was an inside joke.
An inside joke stuffy.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, look, it's cute. You should sleep with it. It said Peeps because I said Peeps all the time.
You said Peeps a lot. And it was April and they were selling Peeps stuffed animals, like the marshmallow candy.
I love that because it wasn't just, oh, look, I'm being cute. He's a cute animal.
Yeah. I was like, look, I listened to you. And
That, I love that. It was fun. Still have Peeps.
This is a creepy gift when you're a grown adult, I feel like. Yeah. I feel like it eventually gets cute again at a certain age. Like when you're in your 70s or 80s, maybe it gets cute again. But if you're in your 30s.
How?
I don't know, because old people can do no wrong, I think.
I don't know. If my grandma was walking around with a stuffed animal, I would judge her.
But if you're Getty, if you're Getachek, if your grandfather was still around and he gave your bubby a stuffed animal, it'd be somewhat adorable, I think.
I guess.
More so than a 30-year-old giving a 20-year-old a stuffed animal.
A lot of men think it's cute. Like, that's why around Valentine's, you have stuffed bear holding hearts everywhere and people just buy that
shit. Yeah, because most people and almost all men just don't think for themselves and aren't original or creative. And they just go to CVS and they see a Russell Stover's candy box next to a stuffed animal and they go, this'll do. And there's no thought put into it and they just pass it along. They're just re-gifting garbage from CVS to their loved ones. Put some thought into it. No one wants that stuffed animal.
No one, really.
We're going to get some emails.
It's okay.
It's okay. So apparently Sophie loved it, made her very happy. What also made her happy is that Rob apologized to Claire. He apologized and then Claire actually said she was sorry for yelling.
I was surprised.
I know.
I was like, she must be tired from walking up the stairs.
you walked up all those stairs on one leg to be like, all right, I'm sorry too. I thought you were going to go in there and rip some shit apart.
Yeah. And Sophie's like, I appreciate that Rob apologized, but I need to stay at Kay's house for a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. She didn't say Kay's house, which made my ears perk up. She said, well, I feel bad now because you got me this carnival prize, but I feel like I need to stay at my friend's for a few days. And the fact that she said friends, I was like, that's what you do when you feel uncomfortable about using the person's name. Like, you're almost feel like you're cheating maybe on him. And that's why you say, like, it feels too vulnerable or scary to say the person's name.
I don't think she's that deep. Oh.
I do think she's trying to mask it because it's like, I got to stay at my friend's. I would just say, oh, I'm staying at Matt's, right? But if I felt uncomfortable about using the person's name because that person's name, there's certain connotations, you feel a certain way about that person, then you say like, oh, I'm just going to stay at my friend's house. It raises less red flags, I think. And I don't know. Why wouldn't she say K's? Why would she say, oh, I'm staying at a friend's?
I don't know. But I thought of one more occasion that I would be okay if you gave me a stuffed animal as an adult. If we are at a carnival and you won it, and like some like wild thing and there was nothing else but like a fun stuffed animal, I would be like, that's cool because you won it.
Yeah. Yeah. Then there's some sentimental, there's a story to it.
Yeah. That's yeah. What, but there the needs CD to be, is.
There needs to be a story attached to it.
Guys. Yeah. If you're getting your ladies candy from the CVS for Valentine's Day, just give them two boxes of candy and drop the stuffed animal.
Now you're talking.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, the candy is great, but the stuffy.
What are we doing?
Exactly.
All right. So there you go. Sophie's sticking to her plan. She's going to go stay at Claire's case.
Yeah. Are you ready for some conspiracy theories down in Nigeria?
Absolutely. I couldn't be more ready.
Angela and
Michael.
We all pick right. up where we left off. Angela's freaking out that her income tax is floating with this group of immigrants trying to get to the U.S.
So she's got to FaceTime an immigration lawyer. She's got to call Rebecca to figure some things out.
She's like, hello, this is Angela. I'm married to a Nigerian.
It's like, what? Is this an AA? This isn't like an intervention.
I'm
married to a Nigerian.
I felt bad for the lawyer. The lawyer was probably like, who is this? Because she was smoking. She was cursing. She's like telling the lawyer about Michael's immigration group. And apparently he was Googling life insurance. And she's like, is he trying to goddamn kill me or what?
Rebecca was just like, you may be just assuming a lot of things, Angela.
Well, most importantly, I'm happy this happened. The lawyer confirmed what I was saying. The lawyer said, if you were married for over 2 years and now Michael gets the visa to come to the U.S., he will automatically have a green card. He will be a resident.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people are wondering, how is he staying here? Angela kept saying, I didn't even apply for the papers. Well, honey, you did. In Nigeria, because it took so long and you've been married this entire time, that's how Michael is a permanent resident, and there is nothing you can do with that.
If it gets approved, though, she can still stop it from getting approved. But once it's approved, he's good to go. That's what Rebecca was saying.
Yeah, but we all know Michael's here. So
Right. Once he enters the States, he's a permanent resident.
Yeah.
And you'll be responsible.
Yeah. So that's very true, because we kind of went through it too. Unless he becomes a citizen, the American is responsible for the immigrant for 10 years. So if you divorce, right?
Yeah.
And let's say you divorce and Michael needs some food stamps because he can take care of himself, then the government can come at Angela because she's supposed to take care of him.
And that's what it is. And I think a lot of people get it twisted. A lot of people think like, oh, you have to provide him like a new car and clothes.
No.
It's like, no, he just needs whatever it is to get by, and that be food, shelter, whatever, nothing lavish, nothing out of the ordinary. And you're only responsible in terms of if he does end up needing government assistance and he doesn't have a job to pay it back, you're going to have to pay the government back. But the government's not going to be like, hey, you have to pay his rent. Hey, you have to pay his car. Just know if the government ends up paying for something, you're going to have to pay the government back.
Correct. But hopefully, if you're a resident, you can find a job. You can do whatever you want, right? So I would hope that Michael and this case will find a job. The only thing is, like, if the job doesn't pay enough, and again, he would still need some government support, it would need to come from Angela.
Correct. So Angela now is a little freaked out and wonders,
a little,
can I stop it? Should I stop it? And Rebecca tells her, well, you can send an email, but just be 100% sure that this is what you want to do, because if you do withdraw this application, well, now you guys are done.
This is it.
There's no coming back from this.
Michael will never come to the U.S. He's just going to be living with the goofballs.
So she hung up and she tracked Michael down, and she's heated.
She's like, Michael, thank you for letting me see the phone, because I saw a lot of stuff. Are you scamming me? Are you in a ring?
You're in a ring. You're embezzling money. You could possibly go to jail tomorrow. And then she starts questioning him about specifics, like this stack of money, like this drop off that she saw.
Yeah, apparently, it's Michael's Wi-Fi box in Nigeria.
He did have answers for everything, and they're not necessarily answers that I immediately go, okay, that makes sense. But again, let's fast forward. We know he made it to America. So Angela bought these answers. Immigration bought these answers.
Yeah. He says, I have pictures of all the documents for the immigration, which makes sense.
Right. This was the big question of why are her personal documents, her insurance documents, all of these documents, why are they on his cell phone?
I think that's okay. The sketchy part is if he shared a photo of it with his immigration group. If he just mentioned it and said, hey guys, you need your spouse's tax return. I got Angela's 2022. That's one thing. If he shared the actual document, then that's bad.
Right. Do we think he redacted personal information?
No, was like, absolutely not.
This is what the document looks like, fellas. Like, make sure this is the one you have. No, he probably just sent the photo and says, this is what you need.
Yeah.
So it's a little dicey, but he did have an excuse or a reason for everything that Angela found.
She's like, you're a scammer, Michael. I'm going to report it to the U.S. government and your team is going down.
Your whole team's going down.
What team?
You broke United States law. Okay.
Angela, the fact that you wear the flag all the time, then I don't think you know all the laws.
You broke Murphy's law and order. United States law. That's some Zach Galifianakis thing, which cracks me up. Okay, so then this is where it gets really good.
Oh, yeah.
They're just sitting there. Everyone's heated. Angela's saying his whole team's going down. And then Michael just stands up, snatches his phone from her hands, and runs away. And now if that doesn't scream guilty, I'm not sure what does.
I think he's been without a phone for a day. I think he wants his phone back. Come on.
But you don't snatch it and then run away.
Have you met Angela?
True.
I think that's the only way for him to get the phone, because I can see her literally destroying the phone. And I don't think Michael can just afford a new one unless Angela's going to buy him a new one.
Fair enough. But this is why you always got to have one hand free, Angela. This should teach you a lesson. You had one hand on a Diet Coke, one on a Marlboro Red. It's like you got to keep a hand free just in case.
There's going to be a fight next time because you see the camera crew. They're trying to get in the middle so they don't jump each other.
Here we go again.
Classic.
All right. I think this is a good place to take a break. We'll collect ourselves. All right. I'm going to peruse Facebook, make sure Therese is not in any Paradise Women groups. And when we come back, we're going to go to Michigan. All right, we'll be back in a second.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hola. Hola, Teresa. I thought maybe we could go to lunch and chat.
Let's do it.
How did Jasmine get to the park? That's my question. She was doing yoga.
Maybe she walked.
That'd be a good workout. Yeah, she was doing yoga in the park, and then Gina just like rolled up, and I'm like, I thought you couldn't Uber. I thought you didn't have a car. How did you get to the park?
Maybe she walked, but they go to lunch, and they both are mentally exhausted.
This was so infuriating because you're at a park alone. No one around. And then it's like, hey, why don't we go to like this public restaurant to have this conversation where everyone can listen to our issues?
Because like, if you're hungry, you're hungry.
So Jasmine's like, well, what you said really hurt yesterday.
Yeah.
And Gina says, well, what you said really hurt me. He can never just have his own thought. It's always whatever you say I also say.
Yeah, and Gino said, I feel hurt because you said I'm not a provider and I'm not a man enough. It's like, yes, she said that, but you said hurtful things too.
He wanted credit for signing Jasmine up for the pageant, but you used a credit card. It's like he wanted credit for paying. Well, you didn't pay. You got more in debt. It's like, what do you want credit for?
Plus, it wasn't your idea. It was Uncle Marco's idea.
True. But the apology tour continues. Jasmine apologizes for hurting Gino's masculinity.
Yeah. And she wants him to take some initiatives in intimacy, which is not going to be that easy because of all the hurtful things she says. Now it lives free in Gino's head.
Sure.
And I honestly don't know how they can ever get past it because they both said a lot of hurtful things. And when it comes to intimacy, you need to feel comfortable.
Yeah. Like,
imagine you strip down and think about, oh my gosh, but I'm not man enough to do this.
Well, for sure for Gino, for Jasmine, all the insults he hurls are hollow. They're empty because he's just piggybacking off what she says. So I think she should feel fine because he hasn't had any original insult since they started dating.
That's true. However, she does says mean things to him. Like she usually starts, he replies, which is awful too. But that's what he says bugs him. When it comes to her looks or anything, like there's nothing you can say.
No, and Jasmine wants to know if Gino finds her attractive, and he's like, oh, yeah, I find you attractive. And she's like, tell me exactly what, be specific. And he says, I like your big perky breasts. They have a very good shape. And this is why I'm saying, why did we go from a private park? why did we have to go sit next to this innocent family minding their own business while Gino talks about your big perky breasts?
But that was good enough for Jasmine because she's like, you're the most beautiful man on the planet.
Shove that big toe in my mouth like a pacifier.
Yeah.
That should have been my intro.
Yeah.
Shove that big toe in my mouth like a pacifier.
Did she say that?
Oh, she sure did.
Oh, I missed that. I'm glad I did.
It's burned in my brain.
Ew. Ew.
Things are back on track for now.
For now.
Can you imagine being in a relationship like any of these, Teresa? This is so exhausting.
I couldn't.
It's exhausting talking about it. They're good. They're bad. They're up. They're down.
I love talking about it, but I could not. I'm such a chill person.
Yeah, for the most part.
That I could not deal. Like, if you wanted to argue with me all the time, like, we would not be having a podcast because we would not be together. And if there is an issue, if you didn't want to talk through it and solve it, like normal people, not to be insulting each other, but have a convo, we would not be here.
I concur.
Yeah.
Let's go pageant dress shopping.
I would, though, allow you to be my manager.
Gino's apparently got a great eye for pageant dresses.
Yes.
He picked out this hot pink dress, which Jasmine loved.
I think he picked it up because it was probably the cheapest one. Because he was really into it.
He was really into it. But that's so fascinating because price never came up this entire shopping trip. I thought that was for sure going to be an issue. Like, oh, I love it, but it's too much money. Price never came up once.
I don't think these dresses were that expensive because he kind of mentioned that that might not have been like a high-end store.
It did look, when they walked in, I was like, is this like a gift shop or something? Like yeah. There was like potpourri bags and a home sweet home sign. Yeah. And I was like, what kind of store is this?
Yeah, but I mean, Jasmine with her figure, she can pull anything off. But she picked this burgundy dress. Why?
I know. Out of all the
makes
dresses.
Makes her look older.
Out of all the dresses and there were some nice, bold statement dresses.
Yeah, you're Jasmine Panama. Just wear something bold. Don't wear this grandma dress.
Yeah, listen to your manager. We learned Gino almost joined the Mr. Michigan pageant. But he's like, I never joined. I just went for the interviews. I just wanted to hear what it was all about. It's like, this isn't a city council meeting. You don't just go to, like, hear what's going on. You go to strut your stuff.
Yeah, but they, I mean, they showed us a photo of Gino when he was young. He wasn't the worst looking.
All right, you calm down over there.
I mean, he had some hair.
Mm-hmm. He's a fine looking guy. It's just everything else that's appalling.
Oh, he looks like a sad dog. Like, that's the sad dog and the large fedoras. Just, there are so many bald men that pull it off and it looks so much better than all these freaking hats.
Yeah.
I hate the hats so much. And his leftover hair when someone takes it off.
Yeah. So it's signature, though, right? At this point, it's his thing.
It is, but it's like, oh, someone burn all the hats.
Yeah. All right, but she got the dress. She likes it. She feels good. She's gonna enter the pageant.
Let's see.
All right, moving on.
Moving on to Lauren and Alexis.
So Lauren's still recovering. Alexis has to go to work, so he dropped the kids off at the in-laws. This season, it's really kind of turned into the story between Alexi and Lauren's mom. Like, they've got this little, like, romance going on.
Yeah, she's like, hi, honey.
Yeah, they have each other because Lauren's been recovering. Not been able to be really present in Alexi's life or the kids' life as much as she wants. And so I think Alexi's kind of seeked solace and comfort and companionship in Lauren's mom.
Well, I think, you know, Alexi has a good husband who was supporting Lauren in this decision to do the mommy makeover, but now realizing that it is more than she said it's gonna be. And especially now, Lauren cannot do anything. And instead of her just resting and try to get better, she keeps crying and bitching and complaining, which I can see how that would bother me too. Because, like, if you decided to have an elective surgery, mm-hmm. and if something you really, really want, and it wouldn't really change the way you look because you're very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I would support you. But then if you started complaining about it afterwards, that would piss me off because I would be like, you need to suck it up because that's what you wanted. Yeah. Don't complain. You can tell me like, oh, I'm in pain, but, you know, I'm powering through. Fine. But if she's crying and bitching, I think it adds to all the stress you're going through already. Plus, Israel.
Right. Well, I was actually going to say, taking care of Lauren and everything that Lauren's going through probably takes his mind off Israel a little bit.
That's a good
point. So in a way, that's sort of the silver lining. Because imagine she was up and at him, perfect, felt perfectly fine, they were both just sitting home watching the news. He would probably be even more stressed and worried. He can't even think necessarily half the time probably about what's going on at home because he's literally got to be focused on what's going on at home in Florida.
And maybe doesn't he think this way, but that's a good point.
So he's finally reached his breaking point. And we praised him. I praised him for weeks. I thought he was doing a pretty solid job of taking care of the house and the kids and everything. But he's reached his breaking point.
Yeah, he's back home. They're talking. Apparently, the doctor told Lauren not to do anything because she was trying to do some stuff. But it's going to prolong her healing. Like, she really needs to rest. And Alexis was like, well, if you did this for me, you should have just gone to the gym. Which, well, you should have said it before that surgery, bro.
Yeah.
But I don't think she did it for him. She did it for herself, as she should.
She did it for herself. Yeah. Yeah. He's clearly frustrated. I could see you doing this too. Like, if a doctor said, hey, don't exert yourself, don't fold, you would listen for about 2 hours and then start trying to push through. And that's frustrating in and of itself. Like, I would rather you just sit and do nothing and recover. She's trying to be helpful. She's trying to fold laundry, but it's like, that is not what you should be doing. You should be resting and recovering. So when you come back 100%. Yeah. Although he does say, like, you should still fold laundry. You should just take your time with it. Like, just do it maybe like once a week. Don't do it every day.
Well, they have 3 kids. I don't think they can do laundry once a week.
Well, here's what I think. They've got to be somewhat successful. She's got to
get a cleaning lady.
Yeah, can't you pay a college kid in the building $50 to do your laundry or something? Yeah. Like, she's got a million followers on Instagram.
Yeah. Plus,
post about the cleaning lady's cleaning service, and they'll clean your apartment for free.
Plus, this surgery was expensive too, so I feel like if you need to spare a couple more bucks, yeah, definitely. But there are also people who don't want any help or anyone around their kids, so maybe her.
But you're sitting at home. You're keeping an eye on things. Have someone come in once a week, post about them on Instagram, or I'm sure you could pay them other ways too, and this will be a non-issue.
No, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Well, Alex, he gets mad and says he's sleeping on the couch tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
Yikes.
All right. Next.
Pat and Thais, the family dinner continues, and I do feel bad for Jose.
Do you?
Yeah, because he's old.
I know. You're so easily manipulated.
I feel bad because the way Carlos comes at him. Like this, why? Like, your daughter told you something, and now you're like bringing it up, making Jose look like the worst person in the world. Like, maybe he really does need that money. This is not maybe, it's not the best way for him to ask for it using his son. But what Carlos did was also not okay.
True. I just found great comedy in John attempting to be the translator and the mediator and everything. It's like he had no idea what was going on, but he was trying to go back and forth and explain what was happening.
He's like, "What? You shouldn't charge your son for rent." But Patrick is like, "I charge you for rent."
Yeah, he's like, I pay more than you even asked. And Patrick's like, yeah, still not enough. And then he says the only reason he got the apartment they have now is for Thais. Otherwise, he would just stay with Jose for free. It's like, okay, well then, so get rid of the apartment.
Yeah, but Thais Patrick
doesn't want it.
Patrick doesn't want to.
I know, because this story is so twisted. I forget who is even staying at the apartment.
So I thought they were renting it, but it seems like maybe they're not.
Right, so I don't even understand the issue with the apartment at this point anymore. Patrick got it when he first started seeing Thais because he wanted a place to stay. He wanted a place for them to have.
So I'm sorry.
So they weren't staying with Jose. They could have their little boom room.
And now Jose owns the apartment.
But how?
Well, maybe Pat gave it to him, but Patrick is still paying the mortgage on it.
So then Jose doesn't own it. You don't own it if you're not paying for it.
You do. If your name is on the contract, you own it.
He just signed the deed over?
Yeah, and maybe he does rent it here and there, and then when he is not renting it, he does his laundry. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought I had a grasp on the apartment issue, and then the more we're watching, I'm like, wait, what is even the issue? Patrick pays for it. It's his apartment.
The issue is that Patrick says, I'm not spending thousands of dollars on this a month, maybe just a year. So Thais's issue is that he literally pays for his apartment that no one really is renting it, maybe here and there. When someone does rent it, Jose gets the money. Jose pockets the money that Patrick pays.
But I'm pretty sure last episode or the episode before, Patrick said it was $20,000 a year.
Yeah. So I think Patrick pays the mortgage maybe and pays maybe something a little extra to Jose.
Call in.
Yeah.
It's getting a little confusing. Either way, the argument then turns to Patrick never asking for permission to marry Thais.
Yeah, and Carlos is like blaming Jose. He's like, your son didn't even ask me, like man to man.
Yeah, well, and this is where it gets a little heated. Carlos is like, do you even know how to raise your son? And interpreter John jumps in. He's like, let's be honest. Thais lied to you, so he wasn't able to ask for your blessing because you didn't tell your father. You didn't tell your father that you're getting married, so it's on you. It's your fault, Carlos.
Yeah, and Thais is annoyed with her dad because he did cross the line. Like, this was supposed to be, let's get ready for the party for Elise. Yeah, let's put our differences aside. But Carlos is so cocky. Like, I don't like him. I don't like his demeanor. I don't like his attitude. He acts like he's 18. He looks like he's 18 too.
The blessing's over. There's no more kissing the ring, Carlos. Okay, it's not happening. Okay, that's why she didn't tell your father.
Yeah, John is playing both sides, and John says, "I'm just playing whatever's right, whatever's the truth."
It's so good. So then the next morning, Patrick and Thais, they're out and about with Elise, And Thais is just like, I don't want this apartment. I don't want it. We should get rid of it after the trip. It's causing a lot of stress in the relationship. And this is why it just doesn't make sense, because Patrick disagrees. He's like, no, but Patrick, you said yesterday you got the apartment because of Thais. So if Thais doesn't want it, why do you still have it?
Well, here's a hot take. Maybe get rid of it. And if you still need to support your dad, send him some money. Send him more money. Maybe cheaper in the apartment.
Yeah. Break off a couple $100 a month. Send it to him if you want to take care of him.
And he can take the washing machine to his home.
Yeah, that's okay. Put it on
Problem solved.
Put it on the ranch.
Problem solved.
Everybody wins.
Well, they're going out with Thais's friends.
Natalia.
And John is coming too.
Natalia and Carol, Thais's friends. Patrick has never met some of these friends before, but they already don't like him because he stole Thais from them.
Which is the dumbest shit ever. Like, he didn't put her in handcuffs and brought her to the U.S. She decided to come to the U.S. She agreed to marry him. She has a kid with him. No one forced her to do anything. It's not like he got her pregnant in Brazil and now she's obligated to move to the U.S. That wasn't the case.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a tale as old as time where the friends or the family get mad. It's like, why are you mad at the American?
My friends didn't, but I didn't come here for you, so.
Exactly. But your mom is sad. She's not mad at anyone, but she's sad that she's alone in Czech while her friends are hanging out with their kids. And
true, but that's my mom.
Yeah, your dad doesn't care. Your dad's like, send more of that beer.
Well, my dad has a lot of friends, and he always does something. He plays with his bands. Like, he's occupied. My mom, she sees. My mom always wants what other people have. And other people have daughters who take them on vacations. I don't take my mom on vacations. I mean, we did take our parents on vacations last year. Mm-hmm. But like, our vacations is we go to Czech, we spend time with them. I don't, unfortunately, have time to just go somewhere with her, because then what about my dad? What about grandma? Like, I don't have the time. Yeah. I hate to say it, but I would need to get more vacation from work. And then what about you?
What about me?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, we learned something here at this.
I was just going to add, in my mom fantasy, you're hanging out with my dad.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. While we're on the vacation, you guys are hanging out in the house.
All right. Well, when translation improves just a little bit more, we can do that. So, okay. They're talking and the friends are kind of interrogating Patrick because they're not sure if Patrick treats Thais well. They heard one time that Patrick was kissing on another girl when he was with Thais.
Yeah, but apparently it wasn't really happening.
Right. Apparently maybe it was soon after Patrick and Thais first met. So they were like, they just met each other. There was no relationship yet. And he was dating around a little bit. This whole thing is just so brutal, though, because Patrick has to translate to John because John doesn't speak Portuguese. So Patrick is just having to like defend himself, then has to explain it to John and then like relive it again. So I was just like, man, poor guy who has to defend himself and then turn around and re-defend himself.
Yeah. Like the friends making comments like, oh, the relationship happened too fast. Why do you care? It's not your relationship. Like we don't trust men, especially men from other countries. Like, well, that's fine, but that's not your man. Like, how do you know? Like, I feel like Patrick seems like a very nice guy. Like, what makes you think that he's not treating her well?
Yeah, and also, Natalie, I saw you giving John some eyes. You were picking up what he was putting down. You were digging it. You were sad he didn't speak Portuguese. So well, give me a break.
John does speak a little Portuguese, as we learned.
They turn their attention to John because, like, oh, so is this the brother that threw the party at your house? They think John is a bad influence on Patrick, and that's why he would cheat on Thais. And so everything starts getting heated when they turn the attention to John.
Well, they say they want John. They say John wants Patrick to cheat on Thais, which why would he want Patrick to cheat on Thais? Yeah. And then John is like, I took him to a strip club once. Yeah. Once.
Yeah, that's not the only thing John said.
Oh, yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah, well, I'm there.
Yeah, because the friends are just mad. They're like, you are an asshole. And John whipped out his Portuguese. He's like, you are a slut.
Hello.
And she threw a drink in his face. Classic. Yeah,
classic. So there we go. So much drama.
So much drama, and we love it.
All right, next.
All right, let's go to Cameroon because the list is completed.
Emily and Kobe, Knock Door, Part 2. Kobe's family has been out gathering everything on David's dowry, and now it's time to present their findings to him.
David's looking over on the table. He's like, where's the goat? I mean, the first thing on the list was the goat.
Number one, really the only thing I cared about besides my African shirts are the goat. Where? Show me the goat.
The goat's there, just chilling.
Kobe's like, there it is. Yeah, chill goat, hanging out. They named the goat Boya.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Because it probably wasn't a girl, yeah? So they named it a Boya.
Okay. Sounds like Goya, and it makes me want to eat beans.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. But as you pointed out, you don't never name a pet that you're going to eat.
No.
Really? Name a mouse. I've told you that story. In college, we had a mouse. Yeah. And we named it Roswell. Because you want to humanize it and you want to sort of create a friendship with the mouse. So
it's
that when you
make,
see it,
make you sad once it dies.
Oh, it'll actually make me very happy. And I was hoping for its death. But in the meantime, I was like, oh, well, classic Roswell. There she goes. But yeah, we had no plans on eating that mouse.
Good.
Times were not that tough in college for us.
I'm glad to hear that you could live off of ramen noodles instead.
Exactly. So Lisa loves the goat now.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa wanted to smuggle the goat home, but realized it wasn't going to be an option.
But what she doesn't love is the next step because it's the money negotiation.
Yeah, and this should have made Lisa feel better because they weren't even actually dealing with real cash. They were using leaves.
Yeah, and Emily could not be there for this whole thing, so she left.
She had to go away. And then David has to, like, count and give leaves for how much he wants. So he like, peeled off a couple crisp leaves.
Ten
crisp ones. And handed it over. And Kobe's family, like, shuffled them up, hands back three. He's like, this is what we can afford. If it's not enough, we can negotiate. And David's like, if you can only afford three leaves, you know, three leaves it is.
I thought they handed over seven. They kept three.
Maybe that's what they did. I don't know. I'm not good with leaf math. But David's like, whatever you can afford as long as I get to keep those African shirts. We have a deal. And so it ended up being like $1.50.
Yeah.
And Elisa still got emotional for selling her daughter for a couple of leaves.
Yeah, just pet a goat.
Just pet the emotional support goat. That's why it's there.
Yes, before someone eats it.
Speaking of emotional support goats.
Although, you might not need to eat the goat. You can just use it for milk. And it can live. It can live on.
And soap.
Why soap?
Goat milk soap is a thing.
Really?
I tried it once.
I love goat cheese. So you can, like, you can utilize the goat without killing it.
That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways.
Smaller than Liz.
Last and certainly least.
We picked up where we left off. We're in the house. Liz is crying. She's been crying for a very long time at this point over a small perf.
Ugh. Small Ed does apologize for coming at Liz's mom, though.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of. And Liz is like, you don't come at a woman like that. And Small Ed's like, well, she wasn't being a woman. She was being, And then he was smart enough not to finish that sentence.
He is such a douche.
The biggest.
Just take it. Just take it. Yeah, I fucked up. I'm sorry for coming at mom. Good luck to you.
Again, this is the behavior of someone who has gotten broken up with, not someone who did the breaking up. If his heart was broken, if Liz broke up with him, I wouldn't excuse the behavior, but I'd understand it.
Yeah. But no, that's who he is. He's always an asshole. No matter what he does, he's always this asshole thinking, oh, I'm funny. I don't want anyone to talk down to me. I'm going to talk down to them instead.
Yeah. He's telling Liz, he's like, you know, I'm really worried about you. I'm worried about your next relationship. She's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you just don't know how to talk to men.
Oh, my gosh. Like, so far, seeing Liz for a few seasons, I think she's perfectly capable of talking to men. But you are not a man. You are a child, as Liz said.
You're a small perv, big perv, big asshole.
Yeah, and she leaves crying. And I hope this is the last time she saw Small Ed, which I doubt it because of the 90-day universe, but...
She got in the car. She was crying. Mom was in the passenger seat. It's like, Mom, Patty, why don't you drive? Your daughter is hyperventilating over here. This is not safe. It's not driver safety over here. Pop in that driver's seat and peel off into the sunset. But you made poor Liz drive out of there.
She cried a lot. Like, think about the past, like, 5-6 episodes. She just cries. She's so swollen from all the crying that I feel bad for her. But I hope she learned her lesson because... Please do not ever go back to Small Ed or talk to him or try to meet someone even remotely similar to Small Ed. Just find someone closer to your age who treats you well. Height. Yeah, who treats you well, who's not an asshole. And if you can't find them right away, be alone, girlfriend. It's okay. Just have fun.
Yeah. Don't go back to Small Ed for the 14th time.
Please don't, because this is just embarrassing. Let him rot in Arkansas.
If the baker's dozen wasn't the magic number, I don't think 14 is going to do it.
Yep.
Good riddance. All right. That's the episode, Teresa.
That's the episode. I'm curious to see, like, what else is going to happen with these two? Or is this it?
Speaking of toxicity, one of my favorite System of a Down songs.
I was just going to say.
Popped on the old IMDb earlier, Internet Movie Database.
I follow.
.com, where they have usually a couple weeks in advance episodes, like just the write-ups, the titles, the write-ups, the synopsis. So they have two more, I guess maybe the rest of June, I forget exactly. No mention of Nicole and Mahmood. So that'll be like 4 or 5 episodes without them. I wonder if they're donezo.
Well, last time we saw, he left.
Huh. So that could just have been the natural end of their story.
Well, I wonder if that whole abuse thing happened in between. And so then maybe he was in custody. He couldn't film.
But
like,
why
I don't
even
know.
Air 10 episode, not even 10 because they weren't on all of them. Why even air like 7 episodes with them?
I don't know. It's a great point. I totally forgot about them, to be honest. And I did like watching it because they're also what a train wreck of a couple.
Yeah.
I know a lot of you guys just hate Angela at this point, but I like that she's on this season because I want to see how Michael gets to the US. Because right now, she's about to pull the visa. What is he going to do to make her trust him for a hot minute so he can land and become the permanent resident that he deserves to be after all the torture?
And this is a legal immigrant saying that Michael deserves... This is asylum. He came to the country where his abuser is, but in some weird way, this is asylum. He deserves it.
Guys, I know, you know, they always say, I am against illegal immigration. It sucks. It makes it very difficult for the real deal seal people like us and some others on 90 Day. I mean, not all of them are doomed, but I'm totally against it. I don't like it. I mean, there are legal ways to do it. Or don't. Just stay where you are. Or go to a country that's easier. Or try to come and study. Like, I don't know. But Michael, after freaking 6+ years with Angela, going through all the abuse, having his car taken apart.
Cake smashed in his face.
Yeah, he couldn't do shit. I feel like
he was on house arrest for about 6 years. He got one BJ. The guy got one BJ.
I think he earned it. And I think he tried to maybe be with her because he did live there for a little bit. So maybe he's like, maybe, just maybe, things can get better.
Maybe.
But I think when she is in her own, on her own land, in her own home, I can see how things just got so out of control.
Yeah, you see how she acts when she's a guest in someone else's country.
Exactly.
Can you imagine when she's Hazelhurst, Georgia?
I can't.
Yikes. All right. Well, hopefully we see how that all unravels. So, all right. That's the episode. Thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to hear more, if you want to hear our thoughts on Love in Paradise and very shortly the other way. Get on the Patreon. Get on the Supercast. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. It's ad-free. We do bonuses on the Family Affair level. There's video on the Family Affair level. There's a chat feature on the Patreon. So much fun stuff. So check it out, Patreon and Supercast. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram. It's the best way to get in touch with us if you're not on the Patreon, because Patreon, you get that direct line.
Yeah.
Instagram, call in. It may ring a couple times. You might have to leave a message, but we'll get back to you. Therese will get back to you. So give us a message at Married to Reality Pod. Also, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot as the upcoming episode. Right. I did like the previews.
All right. So smash it like it's as hot as that. And if you haven't left the review, please do. You guys know we are suckers for a little love. If you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast right here for the world to hear.
Yes.
All right. That is it. I've said it all.
I've said it all.
Sure have. It means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.